We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. It's powerful, y'all. That is powerful. I pray that he's your living hope. I pray that he is, that you are not depending on anything other than Jesus. I pray that your faith, your hope, your eternal security rests on nothing about yourself, but only on Christ. Right now, we see through a glass dimly. One of these days, we'll see him face to face. And until then, we live by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see him to know he's there. We trust by faith that his word is true, his spirit that guides us is true. We have Christ Jesus as our Lord, and I pray that he's your Savior. This morning, we're going to bounce around several places. If you got your Bible, start over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, if I read this in 2025, when I start reading this inside of a church, most of us are going to recognize who this conversation is about. In Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1, it says this. It says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." Listen to this. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due?" This morning, as I read those verses, there's not anyone in this room who has a question of who that's talking about. Some 700 plus years before Jesus ever walked on the earth, we read these words from Isaiah, and it's pretty much exactly telling us we know who it's talking about, because we look back. By faith, we look back at what Christ did. We know that this is a description of how he lived and how he died. It's a description of where his tomb and who he was buried with. This is a description of this Jesus that you and I today have put our trust and our faith in. This is a description of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who came into the world, the one who is the absolute exact image of God. This is speaking of Jesus. But you know, there's people today that don't know who this is. There's people today who does not know this Jesus. There's people all over the world that still does not know this Jesus. But here we are, South Alabama, South Central-ish Alabama, where we are here. We've grown up around church. We've been in church all of our life. We've heard of church. We've been to VBSs and trips and activities and things. It is in our DNA. We know who this is. This is talking about Jesus. He was pierced for us. He was crushed for us. The iniquity that we deserve, the punishment we deserve, he took for us. But not everyone knows who this Jesus is. Look over with me in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, this is exactly where, that text is exactly where the Ethiopian eunuch was when he was riding his chariot back from worshiping in Jerusalem. He was headed back and God sent Philip to speak to him. That is the exact text that he was at. And this morning on a day to where we have lots of baptisms, we've had one already, we got a lot more coming up today. And, you know, the conversation of what is baptisms, why do we baptize? You know, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is an outward display of what Christ has already done. The life change that has happened in your life, the being brought, grafted in, being brought from death to life has already happened. Baptism is just letting the world know, hey world, I am a follower of Jesus. I am unashamed of Jesus. I confess and profess that Jesus Christ is exactly who He says He is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my hope. He's my eternal security. Jesus is my eternal security. And I, like Christ, died and was buried on the cross. I also died of my old self, and I am risen anew to walk in newness of life. It is a picture of Christ dying there and being rose again. It's a picture of our old self dying and publicly telling the world that, hey, Jesus is my Savior. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Those were the words. Those were the words of the eunuch. Look here with me. Begin in verse 26. This in the text. This is where the story is. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, the same prophet Isaiah that we just read. The same exact book. How cool is it that we here in some 2,000 years later got to read the exact same book, the exact same story there that Isaiah wrote. He was reading it. We just read it. There's a difference. We know who it's talking about. Look at what it says here. And the Spirit said to Philip, verse 29, go up and join the chariot. And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? I'm asking you this morning. I am assuming you understand what we're talking about. I'm assuming that you know that Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. But here comes Philip, runs up to him. Do you know what you're talking about? And he said, verse 31, well, how could I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip up to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was basically reading those last two verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth like a lamb. That's where he's reading. And as a lamb before, back over to 32. And as a lamb before its shearers is silent, he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generations? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else? He's like, who is this talking about? I want to know this. I want to understand this. I want to know this guy. Who is this guy they're talking about? Is it Isaiah? Or is it somebody else he's talking about? And then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, back over in Isaiah, he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus Christ to him. And you've got to realize the timeline, he was able to connect the dots of this guy that was just crucified in Jerusalem not too very long ago. He was able to talk about how this early church and all the people that were being baptized and all the people's lives who were being changed, and how this prophet Isaiah, this prophecy that Isaiah spoke of, is fully fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the risen Christ the Lord. You and I know exactly who Philip is talking about here. He's like, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him, and they went along the road. And notice this, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? What prevents me from following the way? What prevents me from following this Jesus? What prevents me from publicly professing and confessing and making known to the world that, hey, I want to do what this Jesus did. I want to do what all the early followers in the church did. I want to do this. Notice what he says here, 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on rejoicing. His life had been forever changed because he had publicly, he said, look, I'm not ashamed of this Jesus. I confess this Jesus. I want to follow this Jesus. I want to do whatever this Jesus did, I want to do what he did. Whatever he requires, I want to do what he requires. Look over with me. Look over with me in John 1. Not 1 John, but John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This Jesus is the only way. Listen, if you're in this room this morning and you're trying to depend on something else other than Jesus, you are in big trouble. If your life is depending on your ability, your goodness, your membership, what your works, your money, your power, your influence, your last name, what you did when you was a kid or anything like that, if you're not wholly grasping onto this Jesus and believing in him and holding on to him and grasping to him and depending fully on him, then you're lost. There's no other name under heaven by which men are saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's coming to the Father except exclusively through me. There's no uh-ohs. There's no yeah buts. It is exclusively Christ Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you brand new? Have you publicly said, hey world, I died to my old self and I like this Jesus? Look at what he says. Look at John chapter 1. Verse 14, actually. Look at verse 14. I like this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus. Jesus was God. Jesus is exactly who he says he was. He's exactly who the prophet said he was going to be. He's exactly who the Old Testament prophecies proclaimed him and said, look, this is what he's going to be. He did it. He fully fulfilled it. Look over at verse 24. Now they had been sent by the Pharisees. John is out baptizing, but now notice John's baptism. John's baptism is with water, and he explains it. Look at verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked John, and he said to them, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor one of the prophets? And John answered them, saying, I baptize in water. But among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptized. And in verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, listen church, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you're looking for anything else to take away sin, you're mistaken. You're missing Christ. Only Christ takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man whom has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in the water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Look over at Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Jesus, this Jesus is exactly the Ethiopian eunuch says, who's he talking about? Is he talking about Isaiah? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about Elijah? Is he talking about one of the other prophets? No, he's talking about this Jesus. The same Jesus that you and I, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. We don't have to go on some spiritual journey. We don't have to put a backpack on and hike the mountains and go find ourselves. No, we just have to trust Jesus. He's right here. How foolish would it be to enter into a Christless eternity when you sat there and you heard about the eunuch asked, who is he talking about? He's talking about this Jesus. Verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13 of Matthew. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted it. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, remember what he told him he would see? Behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do not reject so great a salvation. Don't miss Christ. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to, yeah, but. Don't try and scientifically prove it. Don't try to sit there and make it make sense. Don't sit there and I got to see it and touch it and feel it and hear it and see it and look at it with my own eyes. By faith, you're saved. By faith. Look over with me in Acts. When you follow Christ, you're not ashamed of Jesus. When you follow Jesus, when you trust him, when he's your Lord and Savior, you do what he did. You go where he went. You act like he went. You have, Scripture says, you have the mind of Christ. Jesus was baptized. Jesus to fulfill prophecy. John was like, no, I need to baptize. You need to be baptizing me. And Jesus was like, stop. This is how it's got to be. We can't skip any step. We got to be obedient completely. We know ultimately it's a picture of Christ's death. It's a picture of him literally dying and for 3 days laying there on the grave and then coming back on that third day and ascending back to the Father, interceding even still today. Early church baptized, Acts chapter 2. Look at what's being said here. Peter had preached, Acts 2, verse 37. Peter had preached, and they were convicted, and they were torn up. Their hearts were breaking. They wanted Jesus. They're like, look, this is me. I stand in the need of prayer. I'm this sinner. I am a rebel. I am a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a thief. I'm trying to do it in my own power. I need something. What do I do? Verse 37, then when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, brethren, what do we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? And look at his words, repent. What is repent? Church, what do? You repent. You stop living your own life. You start living for your own self. You stop going in your own direction. Repent is a word that means turn. You go from the direction you're going in, the life you're living, the focus you have, the you-centered, I'm in the center of the world, and I repent of that, and I fully surrender, and I give myself to somebody else. I'm no longer in control. I'm no longer calling the shots. I surrender my life. I turn from my way to His way. I repent and I put my trust in Christ. Repent and be baptized. What it says, repent and be baptized. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. When you trust Christ as Lord and Savior, and you follow in believers' baptism throughout church history, for many in church history, it was a death sentence. For years upon years upon years, hundreds of years, when you publicly proclaimed, when you publicly went down, when you said, "Hey world, I am a follower of this Jesus," you were tagged and a death penalty was put on your neck. And many upon many upon many were murdered. Every which way possible. Many during church history times, like, "Hey, you want to be baptized? You like this baptism thing so much? You're not ashamed of Him so much? We're going to wrap rocks around your feet and we're going to tie you and we're going to drop you to the bottom of the lake." And they died. And you know what they did? They died. And they said, "Hey, many of you want to be baptized? We're going to burn you at the stake." And they're like, "Well, you know what? Burn me. And we're going to do all these horrible things." But they, you know what? They said, "Who in the world cares? I am not ashamed of my Jesus." Salvation today, unfortunately, has been made so easy that there is no sacrifice. There is no, repent. That's what makes it so dangerous. Broad is the path that leads to destruction and narrow is the way. Very few find it. I can verbally say words. I can say words. "Yes, I repent and I'm live for you, Jesus." But my life don't look it. My actions don't look it. My walk don't look it. Nothing about me looks it. But my words say it. My passions don't look it. My drive, my everything about me don't say it, but my words say it, because that's easy. You need a word. I can give you a word. "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Well, how's your walk?" "Well, I don't pray like I should. I don't do like I should. I don't act like I should. I don't go to church like I should. I don't do anything that I should, but I'm a Christian. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live like hell on earth. I'm going to live the way I want to live on earth, but I'm going to heaven because I'm a Christian." And many in word only. Many in word only. It's not a game. It's not a game. We're not a country club. Listen, you get nothing for being part of this club. Whoopee! There's no great. You can find this friend group in any other box of people. It's easy nowadays. And here's what happens. Somebody here makes you mad, you just go somewhere else. "I'll go somewhere else. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the music. I don't like what you wear. I don't like what you say. I don't like how you act. I don't like that group or that group. I'm going to go somewhere else. But I love Jesus." It's easy to talk it. Salvation is more than talk. Salvation is more than lip service. And one of these days, every single one of us are going to have to give an account for this life. And I can't bring my family up, and I can't bring my staff up, and I can't bring deacons up, and I can't bring you up and say, "Hey, tell them what a good guy I was. Tell the Lord what a good guy I was. Wendy, tell the Lord what a good guy. Adeline, daughter, tell the Lord what a good guy. Tony, tell the Lord what a good guy. Hey, y'all, tell, hey, church, tell them what a good guy I was. Tell them that time I did that good thing. Many will say to me on that day, let me take you to the most scary verse in Bible. Matthew chapter 7. Not a game. We're not a country club. We're not a clique. You have no power. You have no authority. You're nothing special. You don't run nothing. You don't control nothing. Don't matter what you give. Won't matter what you've done. Don't matter how many times you've been dunked in one of that. Sang up there. Played up here. Ran up there. Don't matter. Who are you? Nothing. It's by grace we're here. It's easy to talk. Look, church, it's easy to talk. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 should drive every person in this room to their knees. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Wait a second. I even held my hands up. I even swayed a little. I put extra money in. I went on that trip. Listen, there was that time I felt funny one time, and doggone it, I felt bad because I didn't want to go to hell. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to do it. I said those words the preacher said say, and I just said whatever he said say. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? Notice this. This is churchy talk. This is churchy stuff. You don't prophesy at school. You don't cast out demons at work. You don't perform miracles at a ball game and on the weekend. No, this is showy spiritual stuff. Many will say to me, did we do this stuff? Did we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, don't just talk about them, but acts on them. Don't just give lip service to them, but actually applies them. May be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, apply them, live them, be transformed by them, let them become who they are, who does not, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell, and great was its fall. You don't have to trust Christ. You don't have to reject him. Trust Christ. You don't have to give just lip service. Surrender fully. You don't have to just talk about spiritual things. Be his fully. That's some filthy water right over there. That makes you way dirtier than you were when you come out of your shower. I know what floats around before we fill it up. So don't think that filthy pool over there is washing any dirt off, cleaning any sins off, doing anything spiritual whatsoever. Christ is your only hope. Your only hope. Father God, help us see you, Jesus. You, the Ethiopian eunuch was saying, who is he talking about? And Philip from right there preached Jesus to him. The early church was pierced to the heart when Peter preached, and they said, "What do we do?" And he says, "Repent. Repent. Repent. Stop living for yourself. Repent. Surrender. Give up. Stop. Let him be Lord of your life. Let him take over your life. Stop playing God of your life. Repent. And let the world know what you've done. Let the world know who you follow. Let the world know you're not ashamed by following in believers' baptism, just as Christ set the example for." God in heaven, have mercy on us. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? To trust the Son, to worship the Son, to obey the Son, to abide in the Son, to live like the Son, to be obedient to the Son, to deny his own self and his own will and his own wants. God, we are sinners. I am a sinner. I am, oh, wretched man. I am messed up. I have my thoughts, my heart. I am a wretched, wretched sinner. And my only hope is Jesus. God, forgive me. And use me for your glory. God, around this room, I pray that every person knows you as Lord and Savior. I pray that they're not just giving lip service to it. They're not just saying it, but they're living it. They're not just talking it, but it's who they are. God, that somewhere in their life they were pierced to the heart as the early church was, and they trusted, they repented, they cried out and made you Lord. Thank you for saving me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.